Welcome to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast, covering a range of legal topics, including updates from our four practice groups: private client, real estate, business services, and dispute resolution. Welcome to episode 7 of the Wedlake Bell Podcast with your host for today, me, Jonathan Achampong. By way of background, I'm a solicitor and partner in the residential property team at Wedlake Bell. In this podcast, we'll be looking at recent developments in the field of residential property law. In particular, we'll kick things off by talking about some residential property law related consultations and calls for evidence, including the Law Commission's consultation regarding common hold and calls for evidence arising from the Grenfell Tower tragedy. We'll then have a brief update regarding some recent changes in legislation, and we'll end with a short market summary and forecast. So, consultations relating to residential property. Well, there's certainly been a number of these over the past few years, and in the context of looking at the Law Commission's consultation relating to common hold, I think it's worth looking at a few of these. So in 2017, the government launched a consultation entitled Tackling Unfair Practices in the Leasehold Market. That consultation looked at a range of measures to tackle unfair and unreasonable abuses of leasehold, particularly in relation to the sale of new leasehold houses and in relation to onerous ground rents. Now, there was a response from more than 6,000 people, and the government promised that it would, quote, bring forward legislation as soon as parliamentary time allows to prohibit new residential long leases from being granted on houses, whether new build or on existing freehold houses. But it appears that, quote, as soon as parliamentary time allows, could mean anything, because there's been no sign of a timetable for new legislation to deal with unfair practices in the leasehold market. And with Brexit really just around the corner now, it's hard to imagine this situation changing and anything substantive being done until quite long after the Brexit dust has settled. More recently, we had the Law Commission's consultation on leasehold and franchisement reform. That consultation was called Leasehold Home Ownership, Buying Your Freehold or Extending Your Lease. In that consultation, the Law Commission made provisional proposals for reform designed to provide a new scheme of qualifying criteria for enfranchisement rights. There were also proposals to enhance and improve the enfranchisement rights themselves and provide a new unified procedure for all claims. Now, that consultation closed on the 7th of January. On the 10th of December, the Law Commission published its most recent consultation relating to residential property at least, entitled Reinvigorating Common Hold, the Alternative to Leasehold Ownership. Now, if we go back to basics and just look at common hold as a concept, of course, common hold is a form of property ownership that allows freehold ownership of individual flats, houses, and non-residential units within a building or an estate. When it was introduced in 2002, it was seen as the solution for many of the inherent problems with residential leasehold ownership. Because under common hold, there are no property landlords. Common hold owners can participate in management committees and take decisions about maintenance work, as opposed to work being imposed on them by their landlords. Under common hold, there are no leases, so no risks associated with renewing expiring leases. And perhaps most attractively, common hold owners can own their properties outright in the same way as freeholders. So on the surface, it all looks great. But it never really took off in England and Wales. And because Common Hold has been successful in other jurisdictions, such as Australia and the United States, the Law Commission has been keen to examine why it has not been adopted in England and Wales, particularly given the well-publicised problems with leasehold ownership. In the London residential leasehold property world, this has been something that has been debated and discussed somewhat extensively over the years. In particular, Philip Rainey QC of Tanfield Chambers has offered a number of insights into the problems with the Common Hold setup. In fact, the consultation paper itself follows a call for evidence published in February 2018 that highlighted a number of issues within the current law of Common Hold that may be making it unattractive to homeowners, developers, and those involved in the wider property sector. Now, the consultation document is around 460 pages long and contains over 100 questions. It also contains a number of proposed reforms. Now, just to look at two or three of these. Now, the document includes a proposal to enable Common Hold to be used more effectively for larger mixed-use developments that accommodate not only residential properties, but also shops, restaurants, and leisure facilities. Now, this is particularly relevant given the rise in mixed-use developments over the past couple of decades. Now, at present, it's not possible to create a tiered service charge or allow specific parts of the mixed-use Common Hold to self-govern. This, I think, can make Common Hold unattractive for mixed-use schemes. The consultation document also contains a proposal to make it easier to convert from leasehold to Common Hold. As things currently stand, in principle, a leasehold development can convert to Common Hold. But in practice, bearing in mind the different characters and personalities that will exist in any block, it's pretty much impossible to convert from leasehold to Common Hold because the consent of 100% of the lessees is required. Here, some legislative change is needed, surely. There's no need for 100% participation or agreement for the exercise of the right to collectively enfranchise or the right to manage. So why should it be the case that 100% participation is required to convert to a Common Hold? That's something that I think has been pointed out in the past and I think does apply. The consultation document also talks about exploring ways to improve mortgage lenders' confidence in Common Hold in order to increase the choice of financing for home buyers. This, I think, is particularly significant because lenders have not been convinced that Common Hold would offer them sufficient security. And this is almost certainly one of the main reasons it's never really taken off. Now, the consultation closes on the 10th of March, 2019. And the Law Commission will be holding a number of consultation events across England and Wales. And at these events, it will discuss some of its proposals and ask for views. So it looks like, in terms of legislation, certainly in the first quarter of 2019, we're going to see a continued focus on ways of resolving the issues and problems relating to property tenure, leasehold ownership. In particular. Sticking with consultations and calls for evidence, but moving away from property tenure, the government has announced a series of measures aimed at improving building safety. As part of the initiative, which is called Building for a Safer Future, there's a call for evidence from residents and landlords as to how they can work together to keep their homes and buildings safe. That call for evidence closes on the 12th of February. There are also changes to approved document B of the building regulations, and of course they deal with fire safety. Those changes come into force on the 21st of January. But in addition to that, the government has launched a wider call for evidence to gather views on more extensive changes to the approved documents' technical requirements. That call for evidence closes on the 1st of March. So to summarise then on consultations and calls for evidence relating to residential property, we have the Law Commission's consultation relating to common hold, which closes on the 10th of March. We have a call for evidence for residents and landlords as to how they can work together to keep homes and buildings safe. That call for evidence closes on the 12th of February. And we have a call for evidence to gather views on changes to the approved documents. That call for evidence closes on the 1st of March. So in the residential property world, we're certainly being kept busy with consultations and calls for evidence in the first quarter of 2019. Okay, so moving away from consultations and calls for evidence now onto a legislative update. And here we'll look at some updates and some changes in the rules and the laws regarding cladding for buildings, SDLT, and fitness for habitation so far as rented accommodation is concerned. Cladding. Well, there's been a cladding ban. The Building Regulations 2018 were laid before Parliament on the 29th of November 2018. And they came into force on the 21st of December. The regulations ban the use of combustible materials in the external walls of high-rise residential buildings, and they apply to all residential buildings above 18 metres in height, and new dormitories in boarding schools, student accommodation, registered care homes and hospitals above 18 metres in height. The ban doesn't really come as a surprise, and some will take the view that actually it's somewhat overdue. Some of you may recall that the Hackett Review of Building Regulations and Fire Safety that followed the Grenfell Tower fire was widely criticised for failing to recommend such a ban. In response, the government promised to act in the spring of 2018, and a consultation on its proposals closed around mid-August. So there we have it, finally a cladding ban on certain properties. On the 7th of December, regulations were made to amend the Stamp Duty Land Tax Regulations of 2003. This was prompted by the reduction of the SDLT filing and payment window to 14 days from the effective date of the transaction, down from 30. The regulations will come into force on the 1st of March. Now, according to HMRC's figures, 85% of SDLT returns are already filed within 14 days of the relevant transaction. And I think the argument here is that in most cases, there'll be no issue and this won't cause any problems. I think a welcome move will be the fact that the SDLT return form will be simplified by reducing the number of questions. Now, back in 2016, the Law Society and the City of London Law Society broadly welcomed the proposals to reduce the payment window for stamp duty land tax, but they warned errors could creep in unless exemptions were allowed. So where were those exemptions to be? The Law Society said that the information necessary to decide whether to apply to defer may be available only close to the effective date of the transaction. This could mean that having 14 days to submit the return would be, quote, an insufficient period in which to make the application, especially at times of the year when there are public holidays. The Law Society asked that consideration be given to retaining the existing 30-day period for making an application to defer in the case of a contingent or uncertain sum. It seems that this has been taken on board because under the rules, the 30-day period for submitting a deferral application is preserved, notwithstanding the new filing window. Moving on. On the 20th of December, the Homes Fitness for Human Habitation Act of 2018 received royal assent. It will come into force on the 20th of March 2019 and extends to England and Wales. This act will amend the Landlord and Tenant Act 1985 to require that residential rented accommodation is provided and maintained in a state of fitness for human habitation. The Act aims to improve standards in the private and social rented sectors by putting an obligation on landlords to keep their property in good condition, giving tenants the right to take legal action where their landlord fails to do so. So to wrap up and summarise here, some changes to be aware of, no doubt all developers will be, regarding cladding, some changes in the SDLT rules which conveyancing practitioners should be aware of, and for all in the property industry, particularly landlord clients, the Homes Fitness for Habitation Act of 2018 is an important thing to be aware of. Moving on then to a market summary, I think as the month goes on, we can expect to see more by way of market commentary and updates. But the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors housing market forecast, which was published on the 18th of December, was certainly very interesting. So looking at house prices first, Rick said that the London housing market is expected to experience a slight pullback this year as house prices across the UK stagnate. Prices are also expected to flatline nationally as London and the South East experience a slight drop, whereas Northern Ireland, the North West, Scotland and Wales maintain solid momentum. They said that while Brexit will certainly be a significant factor, by virtue of the uncertainty that it causes, the key issue was that the ceiling for affordability has been reached in much of the South. I've got some interesting quotes here. They said, house prices are now a greater multiple of earnings than at any point since records began. They also, I guess, confirmed what we already know, and it's that such house prices are shutting more and more people out from accessing the market and forcing others to save longer for a deposit. They also said that even for those who could afford, in theory, to buy, current prices may still be off-putting. The Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors also dismissed what the Bank of England were quoted to have said, and that was that a no-deal Brexit could see property prices crash by up to 30%. They dismissed that as implausible. So that's what they had to say about house prices. But in terms of house sales, which I guess will be of more significance to conveyancers, agents, investors, buyers and sellers, the Royal Institute predicts that house sales will fall to around 1.15 million. That's a drop of 5% compared with 2018. And sharply below the 1.7 million homes that changed hands in 2006. Of course, the year before the financial crisis. But of course, with all predictions, only time will tell. So there you have it, guys. We've looked at various things in this podcast, including the Law Commission's consultation regarding common hold. We've looked at calls for evidence arising from the Grenfell Tower tragedy. We've had a legislative update and talked about the changes to approved document B of the building regulations relating to fire safety, and which comes into force on the 21st of January, so just round the corner. And we've also talked about the cladding ban, changes in the rules relating to SDLT, and a new piece of legislation dealing with fitness for habitation so far as rented accommodation is concerned. This has been episode 7 of the Wedlake Bell podcast. My name is Jonathan Achampong, partner at Wedlake Bell. And until next time, all the best. You just listened to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast. If you liked our episode and want to know more, then check out our website, www.wedlakebell.com. Wedlake Bell. Building relationships is at the heart of everything we do.